This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Braintree Payments. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with just one integration. Learn more at BraintreePayments.com/whatthetech. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. And now Harry's is offering a free trial set. Just pay the shipping by using the code WhatTheTech at checkout.
What the Tech?
Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
I like I like that. You know, we've been doing the show for God knows how long now, so many years. And yep. I have to pretend that we have not been spending 14, 15 minutes BSing prior to doing a
just
show.
Just like grumbling about everything.
Can you imagine, you know, if that's
how do you think I'm doing, Andrew? We just spent the last hour together.
But can you imagine that's how people actually function?
You're sitting
at a bar. Sitting at a bar, you talk to someone, they come back in, they're like, hey, welcome in. Please take a seat. How you doing?
That's like an hour in. They're like, hey, so how are you doing?
Yeah. Guys, today's going to be a drinking show. We have not done a drinking show in months. Here is my beer. I got a Brooklyn Lager. Paul, what do you have over there?
I have a Yinling.
Paul has a Yinling.
I'm not necessarily too proud of.
But no, it's fine. Better than having a Budweiser. Nothing wrong with Bud.
Yeah. No, it does. We don't have that in the house. This is here because of my wife's parents, but we don't have any good beer upstairs. I didn't want to go down to the cellar.
That's fine. I like that you have beer upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah, we have downstairs beer.
You know what? In both your studios, you have alcohol really close by.
That's true.
That's the way to do a show. That's the way to broadcast, boys and girls. That's
you saw this, right? Because if you go right behind the wall of the studio down in the cellar, there's a wine rack.
Yeah.
And there's also a refrigerator that's full of beer and wine.
That's excellent. The emergency.
You might
stash.
Have a snowstorm. You don't know what's going to happen.
You never know. You always have to keep stocked up. Listen, I will never have food in my house. Whenever there's a big storm, we could always rely on the Chinese food place down the block to deliver, but we will always, always have booze.
Right, right.
And that's a free-for-all. Forget about it. Guys, so much to talk about today. The Microsoft event was last week. We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about the Apple event. I have a bizarre question to ask, and I'm hoping the audience, while we're doing this, can answer this question, because I've yet to confirm this. I think it's true, but I would be I'm flabbergasted. Well, I shouldn't be flabbergasted. I can't even talk. I need to drink today. Jesus, today's going to be terrible.
What's going on, Andrew?
I know. I'm having a rough day. But we have a lot to talk about. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Harry's. You know who's dependable? You know who I could always rely on? And that's Harry's. They will always be here and not disappoint me. I'll tell you why. I just placed my order for everybody's Christmas gift in my family. I literally buy every guy in the family a Harry's set every year, and they absolutely love it. I did it 2 years ago, and I was like, you know what? I hope this doesn't become like the tie, right? So I did it 2 years ago. Everybody loved it. And then I did it again. And this year, Jess's grandfather, Jess's uncle, Jess's cousins, they're all telling me, like, hey, listen, are you going to get me another razor? Because that's what I want. It's actually amazing how many people want this because of the quality. These things are great. The blades are great. And by the way, once you get this set, the set, you know, that comes with the blade and the bomb and everything, you just have to constantly buy the blades, and it's $2 a blade compared to $4 that you're going to pay in the drugstore. These things are great, and they got an awesome, awesome offer. If you go to harrys.com, you can claim your free trial set and the post-shaving balm when you use the coupon code WhatTheTech at checkout. Paul's been using these razors for years now. There were Harry's razors everywhere. He just has them sitting around on the table, in his car. It's everywhere. Harry's 5-blade razors now include the softer flex hinge for more of a comfortable glide, the trimmer blade, textured handle for more control, $2 a blade, like I said, compared to $4, and they own their factories in Germany, so you know you're getting the highest possible quality blade. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with the razor 5-blade cartridge and the shaving gel for free when you sign up for a shave plan, and All you have to do is just pay the shipping. That's harrys.com. Use the coupon code WhatTheTech at checkout. Guys, the holidays are here. This is an awesome, awesome gift to give. And I know I get the joke all the time. Andrew, but you have a beard. Yes, but I have to clean this thing up, and I could not do it if it wasn't for Harry's razor. Harrys.com, coupon code WhatTheTech at checkout. Paul.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm gonna go into this little issue that I have with Microsoft, okay? Have been, and this comes right after last week's comment that I made about how I really generally love Windows 10. They mm-hmm. got me back as a fan.
So let me ask you a question then. Why do you hate Windows 10?
Because
it seems like that's where you're going.
I lost my mind, okay? So I'm, and I get the people. So all these people have been complaining about the forced upgrades, right? The forced Windows updates.
Yep.
Right? You can't turn it off. Am I correct? Unless right. you have Enterprise, right? You could turn it off with sure. Enterprise. You really, and you could defer updates.
You can defer non-security updates, which are the ones that are causing the problems. I mean, so.
Yeah. Deferred for how long?
You know, that's not actually clear, but believe it or not, it's probably some several months. So, for example, when they come out with like a feature update, like the yeah. anniversary update, you could actually delay
that.
The release of that for quite some time.
But you can't say, okay, KB005998, whatever
no.
crucial update that is, I can't say, I don't want to do that update.
Yep.
But I want to do this, this, and this. You cannot do that anymore.
No, this is like the lover's embrace of Romeo and Juliet. It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. Okay. Yep. So I was still defending that. I was saying, you know what? How bad could it possibly be? It's a security update. It's a critical sure. update. They're fixing the patches. How bad could it be? Well,
theoretically, it's an excellent idea.
Theoretically, it's a great idea. Yeah. My problem is not necessarily with critical updates. It's driver updates. They force yeah. driver updates. Right? So why? First of all, the question is, why do they force driver updates? The second yeah. question is, why do they force driver updates?
That's a good question.
It's not rhetorical.
What driver is causing your problem?
Okay, so what happened with us is...
Because let me just say this just as a yeah. general statement. Because there are two kinds of drivers, right? There's the inbox drivers. And by inbox, I mean the drivers that are included as part of Windows.
Part of Windows.
And then okay. you typically get more full feature drivers from the hardware maker, from the PC maker, wherever
it yes. might come from. Okay, yeah.
What is the... Well, sorry, it's to complete the thought. You should be able to override what Windows is doing by installing the third-party driver.
Oh, yes, yes, you're absolutely right. You should be.
Okay. You do. All right.
So I have okay. a – so the production – this is the production machine. So if you're mm-hmm. here, this is my production machine. It's under my desk, and we use – and guys, again, I'm going to put this out there. I don't know how many people are affected by things like this. I don't know if it affects gamers. I don't know – like I always say – my case scenario for having these problems is very specific for my, I guess, enterprise needs, right? my very specific, applications that we use and the hardware that we use. So I have two totally separate issues here. And I found workarounds and I just want to understand this better. So the first issue happened on Friday when we went to record First Ring Daily. The live show, by the way, live on therot.com every Friday at 1 p.m. East. I went to go and I couldn't load up my production software. The vMix is the software that we use. And it's a very high quality piece of software. It's actually great, great tool for any kind of video, live video switching and stuff like that. So it wouldn't load. It would just crash and it would tell me memory error. Turns out there was an AMD driver that was pushed out that broke something. For anniversary, like post-anniversary update. Something broke with the way that it works with anniversary. It's a very specific thing that doesn't impact a lot of people. It's only with certain applications. Fine. You uninstall the drivers. You roll back to the pre-existing driver that worked, right? Mm-hmm. You go back, let's say, to August when the driver was working. That's fine. It works. Except for when you do a Windows update, it will force the driver that doesn't work on the computer. even though, because it's a newer driver, it's, let's say, 16.6, and you need to run driver 16.5, Microsoft is saying, wait a minute, no, you need to have the latest driver.
Sure. This is kind of an age-old problem in Windows. You know, that Microsoft's more basic inbox driver would replace the OEM driver, whatever you want to call that. The problem is the type of hardware you're talking about.
It's a video card. I mean, it's an AMD Radeon R9 280.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a okay. So it's kind of a. It's not an esoteric thing.
No. My next rant is going to be about more of a proprietary. You know, different type of thing.
Yep. Yep.
But it's a regular video. I mean, it's a video card. It's a standard video card. It's sure. So the only way actually, I actually discovered how to trick Microsoft into thinking it has the update. You actually run the update. You break the driver. You uninstall it from. You uninstall it from the Windows update.
Like device manager.
Device manager, and then you roll back.
Yeah.
And it tricks the Windows update into thinking you've already updated this.
That sounds like an excellent use of your time.
It took me... By the way, this is after... You know how I figured that? After a format, after a restore. But you know what?
You should be running Windows 8.1 on this machine.
You want me to leave?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean, just to avoid this issue.
I don't know. Well, you know what? You know what would have worked well if I was running Windows 10, not Anniversary.
Because
it worked. It works on Windows 10, non Anniversary. This is only impacting Anniversary.
Okay, but at some point,
You got to wait till AMD gets their act together, or they're aware. Now they're aware that this problem exists, but it's it's such a small, minute group of people that it's affecting. Who knows when they're going to fix this? I'm curious to see, this is my case, right? But let's say you have a laptop and there's some Bluetooth driver issue with the one that Microsoft is pushing. Are normal people going to say, well, wait a minute, let me roll back this driver. Let me uninstall this. Let me install that.
No.
Let me trick.
No,
me.
No, no,
no. This is a much larger problem if more and more of these issues happen. I know people that had this problem with the NVIDIA drivers for their video card where every time Windows loaded, it was just a black screen.
Right.
Initially with Windows 10, and it was a driver update. So things like this happen, and it's not always Microsoft's fault when these driver issues happen, but to force an update like that and not allow you to say, you know what? I want all the critical updates. I want all the security updates, but forget about anything that messes with my hardware. I want to check no for this. Why can't we have that option?
Right.
I'm really confused by that.
I am too.
So,
I mean, I just wrote something about this notion that Windows as a service is not working, right? And I think the issue is just that Windows is too complicated of a legacy product. It's got too many pieces of it, all over the place. Yeah. And,
And I've always
just
defended
keeping
it.
This thing updated.
I was the one that I was for being a service.
I was too.
These computers have become more and more like appliances. But it kind of makes sense when you control the hardware. If Microsoft controlled all the hardware, they would be able to determine if something like this will happen. The reality is Microsoft doesn't control every software and hardware out there, and they don't know every use case to force an update like this.
Yeah. The problem is that it's a good theory, but in reality, it often breaks down. Yeah.
So here is, and then we'll get, I swear to God, I needed to talk out loud to somebody about this. The other issue was, so I did a clean install of Windows 10 for the first time. I have to tell you, the procedure that you go through to wipe everything out is so simple now.
Oh, I thought you were going to complain about it. I'm like,
wait.
Windows 10, you can install it in 12 minutes. It's kind of amazing.
So it feels like wiping everything off on your phone and then getting everything back. Like, it's done so seamlessly. I really think they got that portion right. So when you wipe out, like I had Windows 10 Anniversary. When you wipe it out, right? You have Anniversary on there. Like, I wiped out the entire hard drive. I didn't keep an existing copy of Windows. I have Anniversary on there. So in Anniversary, Microsoft changed the requirements for digital signatures on drivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Big problem.
What do you mean, Andy?
Because Yeah. Some drivers don't have the digital signature that's up to date. It doesn't have the signature at all. And it blocks. It actually installs the driver, but it blocks you from using the hardware.
Right.
Okay. In 10, this existed also. But you know what you would do? You would go into advanced mode, troubleshoot advanced mode, and you would tell it, I want to load Windows without requiring digital signature on drivers. Right? Which you could still do.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. The whole point of this is to protect you and make sure you're running good hardware and protect the computer. You can't really do that in Windows 10 anniversary. You can, but first what you have to do is go into your BIOS, turn secure boot off on your hard drive, then sure. go and disable digital signatures. That is the only
way.
Are you
suggesting that this is not a task most consumers would be comfortable and
knowledgeable about? I was explaining this to my wife, and she goes, you know what that's like? It's like your key not working because you don't have an alarm system, but the way to get it to work is by removing the door.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't believe that I had to go around. I mean, first of all, I did it. I got it. But again, it's a little weird, right? Like the requirements, the expectation from hardware manufacturers. And by the way, I don't blame Microsoft. They should have high expectations. But the things like this will happen when you say,
yeah.
hey, you need to have the digital signature on this driver. And it's a smaller company. It's not going to be AMD and NVIDIA. You know, it's a smaller right. company making hardware. Mm-hmm. By the time they do it, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to tell people you can't run the hardware? It works right. if you do an upgrade, by the way. That's the crazy part. So if you had 10 and then you do the upgrade, everything works fine because it was already there.
Sure.
I lost my mind yesterday. I was just, I can't, it's one thing after another. It's a great operating system.
Sounds like it. Yep.
It sounds
fantastic the way you just described it.
It's convoluted, right? What do you? I want to get your opinion on this. Am I wrong into thinking maybe this isn't possibly the way to do this? Maybe I should have administrative rights to my computer and say, you know what?
Right.
I get you want to protect me, guys.
You know what, this is encryption and no backdoors. This is privacy. It's everything. These issues are always all or nothing. If Microsoft were to provide this capability, tons of people would do it and they would put machines at risk. And they wouldn't just be putting their own machines at risk. They would be putting the entire internet at risk because those computers might be taken over and used to zombies that would be used to attack other computers. It's a very complex issue. Some people might compare it to like a motorcycle helmet rule or law, you know, where, you know, it's my right. If I want to, you know, not wear a helmet, that's up to me. It's my personal safety. The problem is when people wipe out on a motorcycle on the highway, they endanger other people around them as well. It's really not just about them. You know, the accident you may get into may impact other people too. And that's when it becomes a problem. And but again, we're talking about a theory here versus a reality. And I agree with you. I mean, I just wrote this, you know, I just wrote this. From Microsoft's perspective, I think they've actually introduced more complexity, not just for the users, but for themselves. Because if they hadn't done this, if Windows 10 worked just like Windows 8 had or Windows 7, there would be three supported versions of Windows out in the world.
Yeah.
7, 8, 1, and 10. And that would be it. And if they had to come up with a software update that needed to be addressed on all three operating systems, different KB numbers, et cetera, slightly different changes on each, you have three versions of that patch. But we don't have three versions of Windows now, do we? We have three versions of Windows 10, and then we have Windows 8, and we have 7.1. Well,
for Windows 10?
RTM 1511 and 1607. Yeah. And in the spring of 2017, we're going to have a fourth. And that means we're going to have six versions of Windows that Microsoft has support. And it's actually more complicated than that because actually they also support other builds of Windows through the Insider program. Those don't have the same quality bars and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But they still have to keep track of that stuff because those are computers out in the world running Windows 10. And then there are apps which are serviced on a completely different schedule, which is another level of complexity on top of all that. And then, by the way, they have the different versions of Windows 10 that go to non-computer devices. There's phone, there's HoloLens, there's Surface Hub, there's Xbox One. It cascades into this, I think it's a sinkhole of different versions. Microsoft calls it One Windows. It's not One Windows. If it was One Windows, one thing would patch all of them, but that's not how it works. So it's one of those things, like, it was done for the right reason. All the intentions were good. It makes sense theoretically. I just don't think it's working out in the real world.
I don't know how it's working out in the real world. I mean, I would love to know if these things.
You're not
that
the
I'm
only one having problems, Andrew.
Okay, well, I know.
You're not.
But
you're not.
I would like to know what percentage of the user base is actually getting impacted by things like this. You know, is it small enough where they say, you know, who cares? Let them. They're going to complain regardless. People are going to complain anyway. So they'll just
deal
with it.
It's not about complaining. It's, you know, ultimately, you know, Microsoft is customer driven, right? They have to do what their customers want. And this flies in the face of everything that all of their enterprise customers want. Although I think, as you pointed out, there are enterprise agreements that allow them to defer updates, not to an infinite degree, but for many years, which is very different than the consumer versions. But it also flies in the face of what I think are some of Microsoft's most important customers' needs. You know, the enthusiasts, the power users, the developers, the IT administrators who do want to have that level of control and maybe have the level of responsibility to make sure that this thing is handled in a better way. And I see both sides of it. It's a tricky situation. But again, I think the biggest problem with the Microsoft approach, and it's inevitable, it's not their fault. It's not like they did something unique. It's all or nothing. You can't half-ass your way to saying there's going to be one Windows. You know, we're going to do this thing. You either do it or you don't. And they did it as much as they could within the confines of, you know, enterprise needs and so forth. But
yeah, I'm just curious, you know, on concerns. Why Microsoft is not. I understand. Listen, critical updates, fine. I get it. I totally get it. Security updates, I get it. Mm-hmm. You will give me all the Defender updates, Microsoft Defender updates. I don't care. I'm not going to argue with you and saying I want to pick which antivirus update I have on here. What I don't understand is how the actual attempt to control the hardware and not give you the option to say, you know, I don't want this driver.
Yep.
Let me choose if this driver is for me, because now you're involving a third party. You're involving the hardware manufacturer that may have put out. Maybe, you know, there's a glitch. I mean, who knows?
You've just hit on something that is a potential solution to this, which is that instead, you know, in other words, what Microsoft doesn't want to do is leave computers unprotected. But perhaps there needs to be a system where you can demonstrate that this thing has caused instability or even blue screen, whatever it is, problems on your PC. And that you should be exempt from this update after the fact. You know, in other words, don't let people just proactively block everything. But, you know, it's not a hard thing, for a computer, a modern Windows computer, to know that it just had problems. And as part of a problem report, you know, you send it into Microsoft, it's okay, and your computer's taken out of the loop. I mean, it seems like something like that.
I mean, it would actually encourage
mitigate
people.
Some of the problem. You
know, it would encourage feedback, right? Proper feedback to Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, it's not like this way exactly, but in the old day, before Windows 10, you would send in a little bit of feedback, or every once in a while, you'd get a troubleshooting dialogue, and it would say, hey, we have a problem survey. What was that called?
The report?
The report. Yeah. We're going to send it to Microsoft. We'll let you know when we find a problem, right? No one on earth has ever heard back from Microsoft about a problem. No, never.
I want to find that human being. I want to find that one guy.
This has never happened, right?
Somewhere in like Estonia, you got an update back in 2004.
That doesn't exist. Yeah. But they could kind of handle it like that, in the sense that this would be a little more, it'd be reactive, but you could say, look, I did have this problem. And that would be how you would get exempted from the update, right?
Yeah.
Not ahead of time, but after it happened.
Yeah, I
think it would solve some problems. Yeah. Right? You know,
I get crap because I'm a Mac user at times, but I'm way more of a power user when it comes to Windows than I would be a a Mac power user, you know?
Sure.
My laptop is for web browsing and just everyday stuff, but majority of the stuff that I do, the nitty-gritty stuff, my money comes from a PC. Yeah. And it comes, and I don't use cheap hardware either. That's the other thing. You know, you built the same machine as I did. We have the same exact computer that, you know, to say that, you know, you have to use this driver, and if you don't, there's no other option. It's kind of wacky.
Yep.
I'm not.
There's a lot of circumstances where someone might want to do something different. And actually, you know, the computer I built, you know, for Mark was designed as a gaming PC. And you could imagine that people who are hardcore PC gamers would very much want to have the exact version of some video driver or
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
configure their system in some very specific way. You know, Windows 10 makes it a little less, you know, friendly to do that or easy to do.
Yeah, I actually, I have this here. I don't know if you can see this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NVIDIA 1060 GTX.
That's
1060.
Not a hoverboard. It looks like
a hoverboard, actually. You just put it down like this, and then you just step on it, and just you float away. Isn't this amazing? Look at the future we're living in. So I bought this to fix the problem, in a way. I threw money at the problem, and they say throwing money at the problem fixes it. Well, it kind of did, you know? I haven't installed it yet, but this will definitely fix the problem of not dealing with that crappy driver, because I don't have time to do this. I can't sit and... I mean, I probably will use this in another machine, but... This is the one that people told you you're an idiot for not getting.
Right.
Remember that?
But it's also 4 months later.
It's 4 months later, and now,
My son has had that much use of the computer, so whatever.
So I just thought it's an interesting topic, and I know I get these emails all the time from people, and I never experienced it like this, where really, like, it was like a chain reaction of so many little issues here and there with anniversary. Where I was like, maybe forcing people to do certain things is not the right way of doing it.
Like I said, I understand it.
Yeah.
It works in the mobile world to some degree. Although, you know, does it? I mean, it's funny. On the iOS side, how often is iOS actually updated in a given year? 3 times? 4 times? I mean, one of which is like a major update.
Yeah.
Windows is updated all the time. I mean, it's like continuous.
Hey, you know what's let me just bring, you just reminded me of this, and you tell me, I can't remember for the life of me what it was like. So if you had Windows 8, right, and you went to install a Windows 7 driver, what would it do?
It would work.
Okay.
Yeah.
In 10, it's the craziest thing. I had this happen twice. I, by mistake, downloaded the wrong driver. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm loopy at this point. And I downloaded the Windows 7 driver, and I installed it, and it went through the installer, and I rebooted the machine, and I was like, why isn't it showing up? It's saying that the drivers aren't installed. Like, in device manager, it's like the question mark. It actually allowed me to install the driver, but it was smart enough to not actually.
Because it's probably not signed.
I
don't think it's the version that's the problem. I think it's that it wasn't signed.
I thought it was interesting, though.
I mean, I think you could find a Windows 7 driver that would work.
That would work.
For some device. I mean, just because it was signed correctly and all that.
I mean, I was like, yeah, that's actually good it didn't actually attempt, like, it didn't actually install it.
Sure.
It just made me feel like I was doing it.
I thought you were going to say you actually start rolling back as you rebooted or something.
Yeah, I was rolling back in my chair.
Yeah.
Losing my mind. So I just wanted to touch on this. If you have had this problem, any of these driver issues that I'm explaining, please let me know. I love getting the feedback about this, so I know if people are experiencing things like this, because it's hard for me since I'm a power user in this capacity when it comes to like the video production. I may have a very different experience than 90% of people using it. So I want to hear from people that just use it day to day where, you know, you had some weird thing happen with your driver or you had some weird software thing that really messed it up. I want to know like how you dealt with it. Just, you know, you could put the feedback on the comments on YouTube or you could send me an email at guysfromqueens@gmail.com. I like getting the feedback about this. So, Paul, I want to talk about the event from last week.
Yep.
I have a lot of questions about this, and I guess we were both wrong because we did not see a Surface Book being announced.
Well, I was told explicitly that there wouldn't be a Surface Book 2. In the week or two before the event, I did raise the possibility of them doing a Cabbie Lake upgrade to the Surface Book, and I kind of justified that. And this was based on this imagination, right? This was not based on anything anyone said to me, but it seems like given the reliability issues of Surface Book, you know, pushing it off of Skylake might have been the right decision. Yeah. You could make the argument on the flip side, because that's the direction they went, that, you know, maybe they've gotten the Skylake issues under control with software, and it's not as important as maybe it used to be to have done that. But yeah, I was surprised by the introduction of new Surface Book models with higher end graphics capabilities, yeah, and a slightly new keyboard too.
Yeah. I want to talk about that and a whole lot more, obviously, the Apple announcement too. But before we continue, let's thank our sponsor, and that's Braintree. Simple, secure payments and code you could integrate quickly in just minutes. Learn more about Braintree. Go to BraintreePayments.com/whatthetech. If you're looking to set up a payment solution for your business, Braintree gives your app and website a payment solution that accepts just about every type of payment method with one simple integration. This is the great thing. Maybe you're working on the next Uber, Airbnb, GitHub. Then why not use the same simple payment solution that they are, that has helped these companies become what they are today? Braintree makes mobile payments so fast, easy, and seamless. It's almost magical. Like a MacBook. It's magical. Like an Apple product. Add it to your app in just a few lines of code, and you're instantly ready to accept Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, all major credit cards, and even Bitcoin. I don't know how many people are using Bitcoin, but you could accept Bitcoin if you wanted to. And if there's some other payment method that's coming along, which we see happen every single year almost, Braintree will support it as well. This is a great thing. I really, really like these guys, because not only because they make it super easy for the developer and the owner of the business to integrate this, but it's also really secure for the customer. Across all platforms, it has superior fraud protection. So it's based on a token system. So your information is not going to some computer that's going to get attacked, and now you've lost, you know, your information has been compromised. We see this happen almost every holiday season. We've seen companies like Target, for example, get hit with this. So you know that you're safe if you are accepting, if you're using Braintree for mobile payments. Guys, if you are a developer, check it out. Not fraud protection. Go to BraintreePayments.com/whatthetech. Learn more there. I want to thank Braintree for supporting the show. It's a PayPal company, guys. So, you know, they're great. By the way, we have a new advertiser. This kind of ties in. I don't really like talking about ads, other advertisers during the live read. But the advertiser uses Braintree for their mobile payment solution. So look at that. Everything is full circle here. They're a Braintree company. They use Braintree for payments, which we're going to be talking about next week. And I think a lot of people will enjoy that new ad that we have. BraintreePayments.com/whatthetech. Let's talk about this Windows event, Paul. There was a lot of talk about the feature of Windows, the creative types, right?
Yeah. It's for the creative types. The future of Windows.
Apparently. Where do we begin? Do you want to touch on this? It was interesting that they spent so much time on it, but you could kind of see the direction that they're headed.
I guess I'm still a little confused by that whole thing, but yeah, for some reason they're calling the next version of Windows 10 the Creators Update. It's not going to just have updates for creators. That's the confusing bit. But you know, the whole notion of creators ties into the general message for Windows or for Windows 10 for the past several years, which is, you know, this is the platform for the people to get work done. That Microsoft has referred to them as the doers in the past, which I like. 10 years ago, we called these people knowledge workers or whatever, you know, it is what it is. And so, you know, it's a very, you know, people friendly message. It's like, we're all creators. You're a creator. I'm a creator, you know? And you and I are creators. I mean, obviously we create content. I write for a living. You create videos and you know, everyone creates something.
I write, and then you create crap.
Yeah, some of us are more like a suction on the bottom of society, but you know, whatever. I get that, and that's fine. I think it's a goofy name, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't help that it was kind of bookended by a $4,500 computer that nobody can afford that is aimed at creators. You know, it was kind of a weird juxtaposition, because I think the fundamental value proposition of Windows is its universality, that it works for everybody on every kind of hardware, regardless of how much money you have or regardless of what your needs are. And I don't know. You know, it's I found the event to be a little strange.
I don't know what that was. I did find it to be a little strange. The Surface Studio, we pretty much discussed what we had the idea of for this device, but I didn't know it would be so centric around illustrators and graphic artists. And think that they've, you know, I see them eventually putting out a lower model of this that is not you know, the comic book creator
for rich people
and somebody using CAD, to use. But I think I do see them coming up with some sort of consumer. I don't think this is a consumer device. I think this is a very specific niche product.
It's absolutely not. You need to get an auto loan to buy this.
I mean, it's actually very expensive. So let me go to Apple. $3,000. Let me go to Apple's website to find out how expensive this thing is.
Well, by the way, go to Apple's website to find out how expensive it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, a comparable iMac is $1,800. It has a higher resolution screen. It's a slightly smaller screen. It's widescreen. It's not 3x2. It doesn't have touch, obviously. It doesn't have pen. You know, it doesn't bend down to the tabletop so you can write on it. I don't think most people need that. And I think this is the thing. I will say this. I can't myself sort of say this makes sense. But what I think I can do is explain why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of all agree, you know, figure it out for ourselves whether or not it actually makes sense. And the way I think of it is Microsoft has all these billion-dollar businesses. And then they have these billion-user products and services. And Google and Apple have some as well. Surface, there's no such thing as a Surface tablet that is a billion-dollar business, right? That's not going to happen for them. So they have a product family instead. In the past, what they had was three different kinds of tablets. They tried to have a mini tablet. That didn't work out. They have tried to have a phone. It hasn't worked out yet, but maybe someday they will. But what they have now are two tablets. Well, one tablet, one laptop, let's say. They have a Surface Hub, right, which should have been the clue about the pricing structure. Yeah. Really high-end collaboration device. And now they have this thing. And this is the other way you get to a billion, right? It's not through one product. It's through peppering the market with lots of products.
A multitude
none
of
these things are ever
going to
be a billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of them. Well, that's one way to do it, right? In other words, you need to – Surface has to work within the construct of what Surface is. Surface is a premium products or aspirational products. They're aspirational not just for users but for PC makers as well, hardware makers. And so Surface Book has been copied widely. Lenovo, HP, and many other companies make these things that look just like Surface Pro. Sorry if I said Pro. I meant Surface Pro if I said Surface Book earlier. They hope to do the same with this, I think. I think the goal is that next holiday season, we see HPs and Dells and Lenovos and other companies versions of this device at lower price points with smaller screens, with different choices. You know,
yeah. It's like a reference device much like the Surface. Surface Pro, how that was a premium device. I mean, is this how they keep the OEMs happy, by pricing them themselves out of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it, definitely. The other thing is, you know, Satya Nadella is very pragmatic, and he has directed each of the business leaders in the company to ensure that their products actually turn a profit. You know, what a goofy idea. And this is not going to be a big business, this Surface Studio thing, but it's something that could make a profit, right? And so I think, you know, taken in context with the changes they made to the lineup, they were very explicit last year, Surface Book, Surface Pro 4, premium devices. They got rid of Surface 3, which was kind of a lower end device. Surface Hub is a device that costs, I think the price range is $8,000 or $9,000 up to $21,000 or $22,000. Super expensive. And then they have this all-in-one computer that somehow manages to be over $1,000 more than a comparable Mac.
So the i5, here it is, right? The i5 1 terabyte hybrid drive with 8
just
gigs,
like the iMac,
and 2 gig GPU is $3,000.
Right.
So if
and
that, you want
those specs in an iMac are $1,800.
If you want a i7 version, with 16 gigs of RAM, which is normal, 2 gig GPU, which is not that great, but it's fine.
Sure.
You're $34.99.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you want the 4 gig GPU, $41.99, so it's $4,200.
Right. Look, things change, but as of today, there is no such thing as a human being on Earth that browses over to the MicrosoftStore.com and goes down a price list and says, and buys a $4,000 computer. That's just, it's ludicrous. And, you know, I've tried to think of all these comparisons. Like, how does this make sense? Like, what is this thing in the scope of things, right? You know, back in the late 1980s, the Japanese car makers started coming out, luxury brands, starting with Acura and then with Lexus and Infiniti. And those products carry a premium. They're kind of a tough sell at first because Honda, Nissan, and Toyota were not luxury car makers at the time. And, you know, I don't know what the price premium was exactly, but let's say it was 20% or something or 25%, whatever. You know, Microsoft, I think they can justify the Surface Book, Surface Pro 4 level of pricing. Those machines tend to be more expensive than laptops and other devices from HP, Lenovo, whatever. This thing, though, I mean, it's not even in the same category. It's not a luxury vehicle. It's like a supercar, right? It's the thing you can't even buy at the automaker's dealership. You have to, especially you have to fly to Germany or something and drive it at a track. It's not. It's like a completely different kind of product. I'm still blown away by it. I think I mentioned earlier this notion of the strength of the PC market and how you know all these different price ranges and everything. Those price ranges were here, you know. Surface was like over here, but now this thing is like way off the charts. It's like way over here. It's like it's so far off the charts. I just don't even know how to react to it. I have no, you know, if I'm able to review it or you know, whatever, I'm sure I will love it. There's no doubt about it. Who wouldn't? I could never and would never pay money for this thing. I can't afford it. I've got a kid in college. I make a normal living or whatever. I'm not rich. I could never justify. I could never go to my wife and say, I need this thing. You know, this will make life better. Here's why. Because I'm literally using like a $500 NUC right now to drive the whole operation.
Yeah,
you know?
And you're doing video. You're sending me video. You know, we're doing essentially a television show, right?
Sure.
With cameras.
No, granted.
From
granted,
using a $500 computer.
Yes, I'm not a graphics artist. I'm not a professional illustrator.
Okay, you just hit the nail on the head. If you are a professional illustrator, if you are a graphic artist, if you are one of these, do you benefit from having this device or is it just really cool? I'm going to give you an example. My friend is a comic book creator. He's a amazing illustrator and he's a comic book guy.
Yeah.
I asked him, I went out drinking, and I asked him, I said, what are you thinking? He goes, oh, my God, that thing is freaking awesome. I want it.
Sure.
I want the Surface Studio. I go, why? I go, actually, let me rephrase that. And this is my exact comment. I go, does it make it easier for you to use this compared to what you're using now? Because he's probably using one of those,
Wacom.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
He's using probably, I don't know, he's using something like that because I see him do it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, does it make it easier for you? Does this change the way you do graphics? Is this going to make your graphics better?
Sure.
I mean, how does it, he goes, to be honest, it looks really effing cool.
Right.
And I go, oh my God, it's the Apple thing all over again, even on this level.
It's a tough one. I travel with a lot of different laptops, right? I review these products and everything. So the last trip I just went on, I brought this HP Spectre X360, which is a beautiful machine. It's thin and light and tiny. It's really small. It's got, you know, bezel-less. It's the kind of thing you would really like. You know, there's no bezel on the side.
No bezel.
I tend to like bigger screen devices, right? And so for me, there is no perfect device for Paul, right? I have compromises of some kind that I have to make.
And I think that's most people. I think that's every, you know.
Yeah, sure. I tend to like bigger screens. Bigger screens, you know, add bulk and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so this thing is like a 13-inch screen. It's kind of a little small for me. It's a little cramped, especially high-res Windows display scaling. You know, you get into, it's kind of hard to find the right mix of scaling and resolution and all that stuff. Surface Book, despite all of its problems, that screen is 13 and a half inches, just a little bit bigger, but it's 3x2. So it has kind of a better field of pixels for productivity work, right? More of like portrait oriented writing, like I would do, is a little bit better. A 15 inch Ultrabook would be ideal. Those are very rare. They're very expensive. But I mean, I guess I could, you know, I could have that conversation with my wife where I said, look, I need to buy a 15 inch Ultrabook. There aren't really that many of them. You know, I know Samsung makes one. It's like $2,800. It would be easier for me. You know, is it life changing? Is it worth that much money?
But it helps you. It helps you.
It would be better, but does the cost justify it? I mean, I do this for a living, right? I haven't bought it. Yeah. I mean, I haven't paid that much for it. I won't. I can't. I just can't, you know? And so I compromise because I'm a normal human being. That's what we do. We can't afford the Maserati or the McLaren supercar or whatever it is, like, because we're just people. So we buy an HP, we buy a Dell, we buy whatever we buy. You know, we buy a Nook. You know, I'm delighted that this thing works so well for such a low price. I know this thing is beautiful, but there's just something about its position in the market that it's so contrary to what the PC is all about.
Again, this is make it appliance. Make it a very expensive appliance, but make it an appliance.
When I think about like Surface and like where do they go from here, you know, the things that I saw missing from the previous lineup was desktop expansion that really works, right? I think the lineup needs to go to USB-C for one thing. That's an architectural change that's going to require new hardware. But I really – one of the things that really stinks about Surface right now is if I want to use it here at this desk – there's no 3x2 display I can use that matches the scaling and resolution.
Yeah, so it's always going to be a little off.
It screws everything up. Yeah. It just messes everything up.
Well, this is 3x2.
And,
isn't this 3x2? It is, right?
What is?
The studio.
The studio. Yes, yeah. It is. Yes, okay. It is. But that's what I mean. Like, in other words, what I would have preferred to have seen were two displays, you know, whatever sizes, 24, 28 inches or whatever. That existing users could add to their Surface Book, Surface Pro, whatever, and their dock if they have it, and use that as a thing. It doesn't have to have touch. It doesn't have to sculpt, you know, come down and write with the pen. It doesn't have to have any of that because we already have that screen.
You already have it. It's already there on the device. So you're better off doing it on a little device than a big device, really.
Well, you're better off doing it on the thing you already own. I mean, I'm just, you know, this would be a peripheral. Like, I just, it's odd to me that there's no interim step. You know, that you have this little portable device or you have this gigantus, you know, $3,000 to $4,500 monster.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, it just.
I wonder how pre-orders are going.
It's still weird to me.
I wonder how.
Well, they made 7 of them and those are sold out.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm serious. So as of today, like if you want to buy one of these, you're not getting it until early next year.
So it's sold out.
It's sold out.
Yeah, but I wonder what the sales would be. Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious on what those numbers are.
I think this thing's going to fall off a cliff. I think it's over.
You know, it's
almost just
like
the Surface.
It's almost like Nadella was out with his buddy, and his buddy's like, hey, you know, my company, we need this device. I'll order 20,000 of them if you make it.
Who needs 20,000 of this device?
I don't know.
What
Marvel?
What business has graphic artists all over the place that need 4,000?
Well, I'll tell you where. A lot.
Yes, please.
I'm not saying 20,000, but let's say you are a animation studio. And I could tell you this because I have a relative that's in animation. They sub out their work. They have 300 employees in India that do all their animation. What if I have no idea. To be honest, I have
Here's
no idea
problem.
Why anybody would need so many of these.
Two-thirds of the price of this thing is the screen.
Yeah.
If you forget about I'm not kidding. If you forget about the screen, what's left is a fairly pedestrian computer. It's not even a high-end computer.
No, it's not.
Like if you went to Pixar today or if you went to Pixar 10 years ago, what you would find are very specialized, high-end, super expensive computers. But there's only like 5 companies on Earth that need those kinds of things. We could probably name them all like right now. Lucasfilm, Weta, you know, like whatever. Pixar, what do you call it? DreamWorks Animation, whatever these things are. That's it. That's not a, you know, there's a business to be had there for some company, but this is Microsoft. Like, what are we talking about here?
How many of these do you think Marvel is buying for their comic
book? All of them. And that's great.
All of them.
But the fact that we can name, in other words, We could name the companies. That's the point. We know who they are. There aren't 500 other companies we've never heard of that are just like Marvel.
So here's something interesting. Kit Clayton and Trem says the Wacom screen goes for about $3,000.
Yeah, the screen's very expensive.
Yeah. So for Wacom, I didn't know
How many of those do you think they've sold?
I don't know. I'm curious.
Three. So that's my point. It's not a volume product, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious, actually. I didn't know that it was that much.
I'm not saying it's expensive for what it is. I'm just saying it's expensive and that what it is limits its desirability. It limits its applicability.
Apparently they think somebody's going to buy it. So, but you know what? Maybe this is another reference device that they put out to keep the OEMs in line into making good hardware, and they're doing the world a greater, they're serving the greater good by creating this thing. By telling everybody, guys, this is the standard that you must meet. And
in the world of mobility, they have created a computer that requires you to sit at a desk.
Where's the Surface phone, Paul?
I don't know.
Where's the Surface phone? You know what would have been great? A Surface phone where you dock it to this beautiful screen.
Sure. Three in one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
It's
beautiful, right? I do want to be clear. I complain about it because I represent real human beings. It's a beautiful device. Yeah. So is that supercar you see parked in front of the, Élysée Palace in Paris. I mean, it's beautiful. You're not going to get it and drive it. You can't afford it. It's beautiful to look at.
So they also did a refresh of the Chromebook.
The Chromebook,
The Chromebook. Microsoft refreshed the Chromebook. The Surface Book. They went to Kaby Lake, right?
No.
They did not. Of course they did not.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. No, they didn't refresh it.
They didn't fix the Skylake problem?
So remember when we talked about this as a theory, the one thing that wasn't clear was how much engineering would be required to retrofit the existing devices with the new chipset. That may be a harder problem than we're, privy to. So sticking with the devil, in this case probably did make some sense. So what they did was add three new models with the performance base, which is the keyboard base, right? Bigger battery. They lifted the keyboard up a little bit. I don't have my Surface Book here, but if you remember, the Surface Book's got that weird kind of hole. And so if you think about it, there's room in there to, add to the size of the keyboard. So they threw some battery in there. They put a new GPU in there, which has 2 gigabytes of RAM instead of one. And is far more powerful than the one in the original, which is actually kind of useless and ill-conceived in the sense that it's like this dedicated hardware GPU with its own RAM.
Yeah.
It's not good enough to run any game on Earth, right, that makes any sense, like any decent game. What's it for exactly? it's just like it's for those people who like feel like they're power users and they want the best thing. It's like I can get one with a GPU. It doesn't really do anything. It probably runs Excel a little faster or something. Like it's a very strange
product.
Yeah, well, you're generating charts and stuff at lightning speed. I don't know.
So, strange. I mean, slight refresh. I mean, and listen, this is not a cheap device either, by the way.
No.
It's not an inexpensive device. $27.99 for the i7 512 gig model. Not cheap.
Yeah. They, I went through each of the models they make just to kind of get in my head what's going on here because there's so many of them now. And the one thing I find a little strange is that most of the upgrades as you go up the list are, well, you can go from i5 to i7, obviously. There's only a couple of i5 models. And with the i7, it's basically, it's mostly storage. Like there's a lot of storage choices, like 128, 256, 512, and 1 terabyte. RAM, it's like all 8 gigs until you get to the very high end, and then it's 16, and that's it. When you look at the just performance of the machine.
You know what baffles me about this machine? Out of all the things that you listed, okay?
Yep.
When you use a laptop, Paul, and you're using the webcam on the laptop, if it's a touchscreen, which one are you? If it's like a it has a rear one and a forward one, which one are you more likely to use? The front facing.
Well, you always use the front facing one.
So they're front facing.
I don't even know why they have rear facing cameras on these things.
So you could do this with it.
Nobody does. Who on earth has ever gone out into the world with a Surface tablet and taken photos with it?
Somebody please email me.
I mean, but
no. Email Paul. I'll give you his personal email. I swear to God.
I, That's crazy.
So here's the funny thing about this. The front-facing camera is a 5-megapixel front-facing 1080p camera, okay?
Yeah.
Fine. The rear-facing camera is an 8-megapixel autofocus camera. The rear-facing camera that you will never use is better than the front-facing camera that you're going to use every day.
In Microsoft's defense, I'm sure what it has to do is just the field of view it's taking in, and the items you're taking pictures of would tend to be further away, right? The front-facing one doesn't have to be as good. It's right on top of it.
I mean, it's just
silly. The whole thing is stupid. It's
still silly. Let's talk about Apple quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this new MacBook? I think it's beautiful.
I do too. My central confusion with Apple is why they keep, you know, pushing back on the multi-touch on the screen. I mean, that said, these machines are beautiful. I just said something about loving the 15-inch Ultrabook form factor. I realize this is not technically an Ultrabook. This fits the bill for me. The size, shape, weight of this is beautiful, the 15-inch version.
The MacBook.
MacBook Pro. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I haven't tried one yet, so it seems like the keyboard has improved. The MacBook keyboard is terrible. It's based on the MacBook keyboard, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I heard the throw is a little better. Not much, though. It's not like... I don't know if you would be happy. I don't know if I'll be happy because I think the MacBook keyboard is absolutely—it's
terrible,
terrible, terrible. But they said that a lot of it is fixed. A lot of those the throw issues where it kind of gives you the same effect, but not really.
There's certainly room in there to make that happen. Yeah. And so I heard that. I heard the same. Here's what I'm going to say about the touch strip thing, the touch bar. I actually think it's a really good idea. I think it would be an even better idea if the screen had touch on it. Like, I don't think that thing obviates the need for touch on the screen. I think there's a central benefit to having touch on the screen. But the benefit of that strip, aside from the kind of obvious context nature, context-sensitive nature of the controls, the idea that that strip can change if you have different apps up, is that it keeps your hands off of the content. It keeps you from covering what it is you're working on. That's kind of interesting. Like that's, you know, being able to have like touch-based interaction but not having to put your hands on the screen is valuable. It's the reason why they make such big trackpads and they have gestures on the trackpad.
Yeah,
it's kind of an extension of that.
Trackpad
I think it's
is
great.
Huge on this one, by the way. They
yeah, it. It's like stupid big, right? Like
yeah. So yeah. Here's the thing about this, okay? Mm-hmm. So they have this new MacBook. It's USB Type-C, which it's Thunderbolt, which actually. It's 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports.
Fantastic.
Which is backwards compatible with USB-C. Yep. So if you have a USB-C device, you can plug right in. Yep. So did you know, Paul, that they are not giving you a dongle for USB?
Okay. Well, no, but I... listen, I... We went through this with the headphone jack and everything on the iPhone, right?
Yeah, but they're giving you an adapter with that. Yeah.
I know. It's an expensive device. I get it. You know what? The people who are buying these things, especially this first gen, they have no problem spending money. You know,
they'll buy the $40.
Not that that's the point. That's not the point. But I mean, they have no problem spending money. They want the leading edge. These are the guys that are going to want the leading edge on everything. They're going to want their storage to be USB 3. They're going to want their display to be USB 3. Or Thunderbolt, whatever. They're on board with this. I really kind of come full circle on this stuff. I've written but not posted an article about USB/Thunderbolt. This is it. It's everything. This solves so many problems. It replaces so many things. It is the way to go.
Oh, it's a future. Yeah, this is it. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
The HP Spectre, my wife's using the HP Spectre X360 I just took on this last trip, are all USB-C only. Yes, you run into those occasional little things like Mary Jo and I did a presentation and about 45 minutes away from it. And I'm like, oh, crap. I don't have any way to do video out. And I know the AV guys at the hotel are not going to have USB-C to HDMI. I know they're not going to have it. Yeah. And I just lucked out. Mary Jo actually had the adapter in her bag because, you know, as a smart person, took everything HP gave her and without thought to what it might be. And so she happened to have the dongle in her bag. So those things happen. You know, I get it. I'm going to get on a plane someday without the dongle from my iPhone and I'm not going to be able to listen to music. I know that. Yeah. It's going to happen. But you know what? That's how we move forward. So it's just a temporary inconvenience. The benefit of this thing is so important. I don't know if you and I had talked about this, but this notion that Apple laptops for the past 10, 12, 15 years, whatever, have never had a formal docking solution.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Now they do. Any USB/Thunderbolt dock works just fine. These things are infinitely expandable.
What do you mean by a docking station? Oh, actually a piece that'll go right in. You mean?
In other words, you have a laptop.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is use it with a keyboard, a mouse, big screen, webcam, storage, speakers, whatever.
Okay.
Third parties have come up with all these goofy adapters for MacBooks and Airs and Pros and whatever that like have all the ports on them, and you plug it into the side. Every little thing has to line up. And it's like a way to do all that stuff. And then when you want to take the thing with you, you have to unplug all the stuff. It's stupid.
Yeah.
This thing is one plug. And I mean literally one plug because it drives power.
Yeah.
And it drives everything. And they showed one of them. You know, this is one. They showed it was like a 5K LG display. The 15-inch can drive two of those things. The MacBook gets power from the display.
Yeah.
That's the power of this plug. It's incredible.
It really is.
It's awesome.
I don't have a gripe with USB-C. I think this is the future. My gripe is nobody knows what the hell USB. You think the people going to the Mac store know what USB-C is? You think the salespeople know what it is? I guarantee they don't even know. So you're buying this thing, you're going home, and it's going to take you about a week and a half until you got to plug something in this thing, and you're like, wait a minute, where the hell do I plug? How do I plug this in, Paul? How do I plug this in?
Sure. So, tough shit.
Right.
That's all. I don't care anymore. This is how we move things forward. Yeah. This is too important not to happen. I feel really strongly that Microsoft needs to do this on their Surface devices.
I think Microsoft would do it, but they would also give you a little dongle for, you know, it's going to cost them nothing. They'll make it easier for you if you have all these.
This is a small thing to worry about. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
You know what else people really were upset about was that there's no SD reader on the new MacBook.
Yeah. By the way, all right. So it's funny. I review laptops, right? I mean, hardware, whatever. And you go through this rote list of things in your head, right? Is it there or isn't it there? How many ports are there of what kind? What are the video out? What's the there's all this stuff, you know? I have often pointed to micro USB as being an important. I don't know, port is not the right term, but like a capability to have in a phone or a tablet or a laptop. And you know what? I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't care anymore because this is like one port that does everything. If you need that, if you're a professional photographer and you're sitting on the sidelines at the Knicks game at Madison Square Garden and you got to get pictures off of your phone onto that MacBook, then you need the dongle.
Yeah.
Deal with it. You know, at some point you're going to get a cable that will go USB-C right from your new camera to the device. And we won't have to have this conversation.
By the way, I saw the most beautiful, beautiful adapter, USB-C to.
Is this the round thing?
No, this is the one that goes right on the side of the Mac. And it looks like it's part of it. I mean, it's actually it's that brushed aluminum look. It's stunning.
Sure.
It goes right in, USB-C right on the side, connects right in. It's totally plush to the thing, so it just looks like it's a piece. It does SD, it does USB, it does Ethernet, it does everything you need this thing to do. It's like $49 bucks. It's one device.
Even when the first Surface devices came out, someone came out. It's a little piece. In fact, I have it in the cellar. It's a little piece of plastic. It's like a little plastic dongle. It has a like a headphone jack in like male part. And it has a USB port. And you plug it into the side of the Surface. It looked like those Surfaces looked. It's black.
Yeah.
And what was on the side of it was, off the top of my head, like probably two USB ports. Right? That was the point of it. And the microphone port. The headset jack port. It was just like one USB is not enough. And here's this little dongle thing you can add to it and you get to or whatever. Yeah. These things exist. It's fine.
I know. I'm just curious. Again, I'm thinking for the people that are not aware. Remember,
these are expensive devices. So
very expensive.
The MacBook Pro 15-inch. What's the starting price of 15? It's like $2,300 or something. It's really expensive.
It went up by everything went up by $200, I think.
Yeah, that I have a problem with. Yeah. That I don't understand.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful, and they're high end, and people that use these are by and large professionals. They should know what they're getting into. At some point, what they have to do is bring this stuff down.
Wait a minute. Are they?
By and large, I say. Yeah, they are. Oh, look, listen, you're either literally a professional. It's a pro laptop.
I'm telling you
right
now, all my shithead friends have Macs.
Hold on a second. You're either a professional or you have more money than you know what to do with, and you can buy a dongle. Just buy the damn dongle.
Yeah, no, I'm all for buying the dongle. It's fine. I just think it's the lack of information.
I don't know, I'm
curious. This is going to be another one. It's going to be people are going to say, I bought this thing. Where do I plug my USB in? No, they're going to go into the App Store.
Look, I can't speak for every Apple employee, but when you go to that store and you're spending $2,000 or $25,000, they will know. Yeah. And they will say something to you. And you're going to get that red carpet treatment because you're spending so much money. And they will direct you over to, you know, when I bought my iPhone, the guy said, well, I'm doing this. I don't want you just to stand around waiting. Why don't you go grab, you know, are you going to get a case? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, you know, go take a look and go get a case. You know, same thing.
Very cool. I like these discussions. We're never going to be right, guys. Just thoughts.
No, that's not true. I'm absolutely right. What I mean is it's really easy to get caught up in these kind of short term inconveniences.
Yeah.
But we can't push forward if we just worry about this stuff.
I was more surprised that they're not adding one, you know, Thunderbolt to USB adapter, considering you removed it and 99% of every apparel out in the market is USB. Okay. All your phones. So here's the thing. Okay, here it is. If you have an iPhone.
I know.
How do you connect your iPhone to your Mac?
Apple makes a cable that's USB-C to Lightning.
Yes.
They do. You're right. So I'll give you an idea of what a compromise looks like. I mentioned the HP Spectre X360, the new one. It's USB-C / Thunderbolt based, right? And so there are two of those ports on the right side. Beautiful. It's a beautiful laptop. But if you go to the other, there's no SD reader on this at all. And that was something that was on the previous version as well. If you go to the other side, you'll find a USB 3 port, normal USB port. Right. And there's your compromise, right? It doesn't have to be all or nothing. All or nothing is one of those things Apple does. I guess the only thing I'll say is just that they have a way of driving things forward when they do that. And if the short-term impact is a little bit of inconvenience, you know, the Apple store you bought it at is just as close to you as it was yesterday when you bought the machine, so...
Yeah. Here's another question.
Go again and give them another 5-star rating for the customer service. That's what those people do.
Yeah. Consumer. What is it? Every year they're the top.
Of course, because the people that go into those stores, they're so happy to be there.
How do you use your Lightning port headphone with your Mac? First of all, I know.
There is no such. Who has such a thing? What are you talking about?
Use your Lightning port headphone. With your Mac.
Who has a Lightning port headphone? The one that comes with
it. Yeah, the one that comes with it.
Oh, I see. Nobody uses those headphones.
You know what? That is a question of the week, guys. I want you to think about this. That is a great question to answer in life. How do you use your Thunderbolt headphone with your Mac? Guys, we got to wrap it up. I had a lot of fun today. This was so much fun. I feel so much better. If you're sticking around, if you're watching this live, stay tuned. Paul and I are going to do another 15 minutes.
You have once again put me in the awkward position of defending Apple.
I know. How is this happening?
I don't know.
I get you drunk and then you become, and then the truth comes out. Truth serum.
Listen, Andrew, they get it.
They get it. You guys are wrong.
More important, they get me.
Yeah, just like their TV app on their Apple TV.
Yes.
You know what? Yes. We didn't talk about this. You know what?
Piece of crap.
We'll talk about this on the post show. But I did. It's rare for me to get my hopes up during one of these announcements because everything is announced.
I know.
And I got
talking about TV, and I thought they're going to do it. They're doing it.
It's happening. I was on the phone with Verizon saying "F off, Verizon. I'm canceling service."
Yeah, sure. I was actually canceling.
I was on the phone.
You heard the word live, and then you were like, "You were."
Guys, if you're sticking around, stay tuned. We're going to talk about this and a couple more things on the post show. If you're not, if you're listening to the podcast, guys, go sign up patreon.com/whatthetech. It's our bonus show. Fund us whatever you want. You get access to all these bonus things that we're doing. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing it. You guys are helping us out. Continue doing what we love. You can follow Paul on Twitter at The Rotten. You're not coming to New York, are you? Are you coming to New York?
No.
You're not? Okay. I thought maybe you would have been here this week.
Yeah, there is an event this week. I'm not coming to it.
You can follow Paul on Twitter at The Rot. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. Guys, also, The Rot Premium. Can we talk about this for a minute? The Rot Premium. If you go to therot.com, go sign up for The Rot Premium. It is excellent. You get all this access to blog posts that Paul puts out. Brad and Paul are working really, really hard on there. You also get access to First Ring Daily, the daily podcast that I produce. It's a daily podcast on therot.com. It's every day they do a couple minutes where they talk about whatever comes to mind, the day's news or whatever that day's topic is. Also, First Ring Daily, the weekly show on Fridays, it is available for everybody to download. It's going to be on iTunes within the next couple days, I believe. The next couple days. I got to check my email. Yeah, sorry, Paul. Within the next couple days, it'll be on iTunes. It'll be available in everywhere podcasts are available, and also Spotify. You could get it on Spotify as well in a couple days. I got a baby crawling down here while I'm doing this read. Look at her.
Nice.
Let me grab her. Hold on. Always fun. Here we go. I got a little baby here. So if you go to therot.com, sign up for the premium site. It's a couple bucks. Not that much. $64 for the year. And you're helping Paul. You're helping Brad. You're helping everybody out over there. Great people.
Those are the darkest eyes I've ever seen.
The child.
Yeah.
Staring deep into your soul.
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to do it. Hold on. Do you see this kid? Go to patreon.com/whatthetuck.
Nice. Nice.
Go fun this.
Doesn't feed herself. That's all
I know.
I'm saying.
She needs diapers, guys. She needs diapers. Guys, if you're staying around, stay tuned. We're going to do our bonus show. If not, we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye for now.